Coming up on show 1479, the Lucid Air sets a new hypermining distance record. Stick around and we'll get you up to speed. Also on the podcast today, Harley Davidson sells out of its newest electric motorcycle in 18 minutes. Over 300 battery gigafactories are in the global pipeline, and the commodities giant Glencore has to pay $1.1 billion to settle bribery and price fixing charges. Good afternoon and good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It's Thursday, 26th of May, and it's my penultimate day of hosting the show before Martin gets back from his holidays. I'm Blake Boland, and I've gone through every EV story so that you don't have to. Let's kick things off with today's headline story, and that's the Lucid Air setting a new hypermiling record. Now, I won't tell you the number yet. I don't want to spoil it for you in case you want to watch the video. But let's take a step back for a moment, because Tom Mologny did his famous Inside EV 70 miles per hour range test there a few weeks ago, and he cracked a full 500 miles out of the Lucid Air. Now, the EPA rating is 520 miles, so it's hugely impressive that he got that number out of it. 118 kilowatt hour battery to get there. Now, let's fast forward to the Kilowatts, the YouTube channel. They got their hands on a Lucid Air, and their plan was to drive the car at a constant 27 miles per hour, switching drivers every 3 hours or so. Now, anytime that the Lucid Air needed to stop or to turn around, the driver would switch into neutral and coast before then accelerating slowly back up to 27 miles per hour. Now, how far did it make it? I'll pause for a second. You guys have a think about what your answer is, but also if you don't want to hear the answer, you want to go and watch the video yourself, don't listen for the next 10 seconds. Well, they cracked 687.4 miles out of it. And those for you covering your ears, come back in now. So 687 miles, still good enough to qualify as a world record for the longest range achieved by a production electric vehicle on public roads. But I think I would have thought it would do slightly better than that in a hypermiling circumstance, considering it could do 500 miles at highway speed. And I remember a Hyundai Kona, I think they tested three in a hypermiling loop there a couple of years back, and all three of them cracked that 1,000 kilometer mark. And that's from a 64 kilowatt hour usable battery, although granted, it is a smaller and lighter car. But anyway, head over to the Kilowatts YouTube channel and check out the video there. Well, the Harley Davidson sold out of its newest motorbike in 18 minutes. So when the Harley Davidson, they first unveiled the Livewire about 4 years ago, taking orders on it, the industry, according to Electric, was largely in consensus about the bike itself. So it scored impressive marks and high acclaim for performance and style, but its sales suffered due to the original lofty price of nearly $30,000. Although, in brackets, they do say the price did drop to $22,000 after entering the Livewire sub-brand. So it's no surprise that ever since the original launch, significant hype has been building for Harley-Davidson's next lower-cost electric motorcycle. And they go on to say, but when Harley-Davidson's new electric sub-brand Livewire pulled the sheet off the new Delmar S2 electric motorcycle, riders responded instantly, and they did so by opening up their wallets. So the first limited edition run of the Delmar electric bike sold out in just 18 minutes. Now, granted, it was small, an exclusive block of just 100 launch edition bikes, but they were also priced at nearly $2,700 above the base model's $15,000 price tag. And that few extra thousand got you really a unique numbered plate and colorway, but not a whole lot else, they say. So great to see Harley Davidson coming out with new products, EV products, that is. That's what we want to see here on this podcast anyway. And congratulations on the selling out. Hopefully those numbers tick over with the base models. So from bikes to buses now, and CATL partners with European electric bus maker Solaris on battery supply. We're getting this article from the CNEV Post, and they say, Contemporary Amprex Technology Company Limited, CATL, recently entered into a partnership with European electric bus maker Solaris to help drive the transition to electric urban mobility in Europe, the largest Chinese power battery maker announced today. So CATL will provide Solaris buses with lithium iron phosphate, or the LFP, batteries using CTPs, that's cell-to-pack technology, to drive the electrification of buses, the company said. Thanks to the long life and high thermal stability of CATL's LFP system, Solaris's electric buses will demonstrate significant advantages in safety and temperature resilience, they said. So the technology increases battery energy density and payload of electric buses and eliminates the need for battery modules in traditional battery packs. So Solaris, they're based in Poland, and they're one of Europe's leading bus and trolley bus manufacturers. They've made more than 22,000 vehicles now in the past 25 years, and I love seeing these kind of vehicles going electric. More power to them. Let's talk charging for a moment. And the headline of this story is ADS Tech Energy extends battery buffered ultra fast EV charging. And this article comes courtesy of greentechprogress.com. So ADS Tech Energy PLC is extending its battery buffered ultra fast EV charging portfolio in Europe, despite global supply chain and other market challenges, with the addition of a charge post later this year. Now, unlike their currently available battery buffered charge box, which consists of a separate battery booster module and two charging dispensers, the charge post consolidates battery buffering and dispensers into a single all-in-one system with a large display that provides revenue generating advertising opportunities. And I'll end the quote there. So I think it's great to see these new technologies in terms of chargers coming on board, because how often do we turn up at chargers and there might be, let's just pick a round number, 10 chargers there, but you're never going to have 10 cars pulling up all taking the maximum kilowatt at the amount the same time. And another issue that, and I'm seeing it just from talking to a couple of network suppliers over here in Ireland anyway, that they're really struggling with grid connections, and that people can install the chargers, but then they're waiting weeks and even months to get proper grid supply and grid connections. So if you can get 10 chargers that are all capable of, let's say, 150 kilowatts put in, but you know that you cannot deliver 1.5 megawatts just because of grid connections, etc., we can get these kind of load balancing battery buffers. We just get so many more charge points, because we know that some of the cars that are on connected, they're going to be up at maybe 70 or 80% and they're only pulling 30, 40, 50 kilowatts. They don't need access to the full 200 or 300 kilowatts at the time. So it's great to balance that out a little bit. And then the next car that comes on, they can get the full blast of 200, 220 kilowatts, whatever it is, depending on if they're driving Tesla or Taycans or even ID4s around that 130, 140 mark. So great to see these new technologies coming on board and us just thinking about the realities of charging and what we actually need. Next story now moves on to Tesla, and the headline is Tesla releases new software update with better range calculation, and this is courtesy of Electric. So what do they say? Tesla has started to release a new software update, 2022.16.0.2, with a better range calculation incorporating more environmental factors and the ability for media accounts to be linked to driver profiles. So the latter one is pretty simple, they say. You can now have multiple Spotify accounts linked to your vehicle and they will automatically shift between them based on the driver profile selected. But the second feature in the update is arguably way more important, and it's something that Tesla has actually been testing for a while now. So they say that they reported on it back in March when it showed up in the code. And what do Tesla say in the release notes? Energy prediction for your route has been improved by incorporating forecasted crosswind, headwind, humidity and ambient temperature when using online navigation. So it'll be really interesting to see how Tesla drivers and Tesla owners get on with this. And if any of you out there have any opinions, catch us up on Twitter. I'm up around for the week at EV Life Ireland, or you can send an email into Martin and let them know what you think. Hello@evnewsdaily.com. Now, I thought that the navigation system was pretty good, because I actually did a test on this when I had the Model 3 long range about 3 or 4 months ago, and I found it to be very, very accurate. And it was the same. I had the Model Y there about 3 weeks ago for a week, and, you know, going journeys where I was going to burn through about 30% of the battery, and invariably it was right, give or take 1 or 2%. If anything, it was a little bit pessimistic, but that's probably because I drive a little bit slower than a lot of people maybe. Let's do one more story before I go for a little break, and that is battery startup Sparks. United Mine Workers of America announced labor management agreement for West Virginia Gigafactory, and this comes courtesy of InsideEVs.com. What do they say in the article? Well, Sparks, and that's spelled S-P-A-R-K-Z, or Z, as you would say in the States, I suppose, a battery startup with exclusive licenses from Oak Ridge National Laboratory to produce domestic cobalt-free lithium batteries. And the United Mine Workers of America, they've signed a memorandum of understanding establishing a labor management agreement that would mark one of the largest climate tech and union workforce partnerships in the United States. So Sparks have announced in March that they will begin construction in 2022, so that's this year, of a gigafactory in West Virginia to commercialize their zero cobalt battery, which will initially employ 350 workers and could grow to as many as 3,000. Now, under this agreement, Sparks and the UMWA will partner to recruit and train dislocated miners to be the first group of production workers to be hired into the facility. And that's what I wanted to get at in this story. And it is this transition to electrification that we're going through. We really don't want people to be left behind. And we know that EVs, they demand much less maintenance. You know, as we shift away from fossil fuel, there's going to be a lot of oil workers, there's going to be a lot of miners, you know, as is so pertinent to this story we're talking about now. And we need to make sure that these people are retrained, that they're educated in the EV ways, and that we make sure that nobody's left behind in this transition to electrification. So it's great to see cooperation like this. And it's a conversation that we need to be having across the board as we do transition to EVs. Okay, I'm going to pop downstairs, get myself a cup of tea, and we'll get an ad break. And remember that if you want to avoid those ads, get yourself onto patreon.com. That's patreon.com/EV News Daily. And the money that Martin gets in through there really helps him keep the show on the air, cover all the costs that are going on in the background. But do join us in a minute, because coming up on the show, we have Volkswagen being rumored to name their next estate car the ID7 Tourer, and a Buick Electra X is teased as the brand's first Ultium-based SUV concept. See you in a minute. Welcome back, everyone, and let's pick things up with over 300 battery gigafactories are now in the global pipeline, and this comes from Charged EVs, and they say, as EV demand steadily grows, automakers and their suppliers are wisely hustling to increase battery production capacity, preferably close to their auto plants and markets. Benchmark Mineral Intelligence reports that there are currently over 300 battery gigafactories either in the construction or planning stages around the world. Now, this represents some 6,400 gigawatt hours worth of battery capacity, and that's a 68% increase compared to the figure a year ago, which is great to see that so many more of these plants are coming online. So they continue on in the article. North America and Europe are racing to catch up with China. The former continent has added 11 gigafactories to its pipeline since this time last year, and the latter has added 8. Joint ventures between automakers and battery companies have been major drivers to this growth. And that is no surprise, really, because the car makers know you can't make an EV if you don't have a battery. And so many that have been stuck without supply. And we're not going to point any fingers here, although I suppose you all know who I'm talking about. But yeah, car companies, they need those batteries. And we need so much more if we want to get, oh, everything from trucks, trams, you know, as well as private cars, but even micromobility, e-bikes, scooters, motorbikes, we need the batteries, and we need them in such great supplies that we really need companies like this stepping up and be it joint ventures or starting battery factories on their own. Yeah, great to see. Now, if you're like me, you love hearing news about small cars, a bit like the Sakura that we covered there a few days ago. So you'll be happy to hear this one then. And this comes from electrive.com. Micro presents variants for the compact Microlino. And they say, the Microlino will be available in 4 variants, all of which will be powered by an electric motor with an output of 12.5 kilowatts. Not the biggest, but then again, it's not the biggest vehicle either, is it? The top speed of this two-seater is to be 90 kilometers per hour. So what's that? Just over 50 miles per hour. In addition, the Microlino will be available with 3 battery sizes, and they are 6, 10.5 or 14 kilowatt hours, which should enable ranges of 91, 177 and 230 kilometers respectively. Now, the chemical storage, I presume the battery they're talking about, can be recharged via type 2. With a maximum charging power of 1.35, the smaller battery needs 4 hours. The medium battery can then take 2.6 kilowatts, that takes 3 hours. And the largest battery, which also charges at 2.6 kilowatts, takes 4 hours. Now, we don't have final prices yet available. They say the configurator will only be activated in the next few days. Preference will be initially given to customers from Switzerland. However, before advance payments will also be accepted from Germany and Italy at a later date. They say if Micro is able to keep to its own production schedule, about 1,500 Microlino will be built in Turin in Italy by the end of the year. However, the company also sees a challenge in being able to satisfy all customers. According to Micro, there are currently more than 30,000 reservations for the light electric vehicle. Really looking forward to seeing how this plays out. Ooh, I wonder when I get my hands on one of those, was that going to replace for one of my 3 vehicles on the question of the week? Oh, we'll have to think about that one later on. So Volkswagen are rumored to name their estate car the ID7 Tourer, according to electrive.com. And they say it's no secret that Volkswagen is planning an all-electric estate car. Now it has been revealed that the electric counterparts to the Passat series, previously announced by VW as Aero A and Aero B, could come into the market as the ID7. So the European Patent Office apparently has listed the name ID7 Tourer under the entry dated 17th of May 2022. Now, that's no surprise at all. We've had a big announcement there a few weeks ago about the Audi estate. Oh, I mean, that thing is just beautiful, isn't it? Like, I'm a big fan of estates, that form factor. Personally prefer it over the SUV form. So great to see VW pushing forward with this one. And hopefully we get some real concrete announcements now in the coming weeks and months. And another one for you now. Buick Electra X is teased as brand's first Ultium-based SUV concept. We got this from InsideEVs.com, and they say Buick China has dropped two teaser photos of an upcoming all-electric concept vehicle named Electra X. The brand's first electric SUV concept developed on GM's Ultium platform. So the new design study could be more production-ready follow to the Buick Electra concept from 2020, at least judging by the name and the fact that it's an electric SUV. It's set to debut at the upcoming Buick China Brand Day in early June. The Electric X is set to offer a sneak peek at future Ultium-based EVs for Buick in China. And our next story is about someone who has been misbehaving, and that is the commodities giant Glencore will pay $1.1 billion to settle bribery and price-fixing charges. And we get this one from the NYTimes.com, and they say, the settlement was not a surprise. In February, the company set aside $1.5 billion in reserves to pay for fines and clawbacks that might result from international investigations into its operations in a handful of resource-rich countries in Africa and South America. And now we switch over to Teslarati.com, and their headline, their take on this was, Tesla GM supplier Glencore pleads guilty to $1.1 billion penalty for FCPA violations. And in their article, they say Glencore admitted that in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, it offered to pay $27.5 million to third parties to secure improper business advantages. In Venezuela, Glencore paid $1.2 million to an intermediary company that made corrupt payments that benefited a Venezuelan official. Apparently, the company has said that it does not expect total payments to differ from the $1.5 billion it set aside to handle the investigations. But investigations in Switzerland and the Netherlands continue, so this story hasn't fully played out yet. Now, just to give you a bit of background on that as well, Tesla receives cobalt from Glencore's Kamoto copper mine in the DRC and nickel from the company's Murrin Murrin mine in Australia, it said in its 2021 impact report. GM also receives cobalt from the Murrin Murrin mine as well. So this got deep-reaching impacts on the EV industry. Here's one that came into our inbox. Hello at EV News Daily is a press release yesterday, but it's all over the internet as well. And we took the Auto Express article, and you can find more information on that in the show notes if you like. But they say new smart number one, #1, SUV available to order in December 2022. So customers will be able to reserve the all new smart one, smart number one. I'm not sure how to say this. What do you think, folks? It's smart #1. Let's go with smart number one for now. Towards the end of this year, with the first 100 cars arriving in launch edition guise. So the new smart is based on an all-electric architecture from Geely called SEA, and this will underpin smart's forthcoming new range. Now from launch, it's going to have a 66 kilowatt hour battery installed for a claimed headline range of up to 440 kilometers. That's 273 miles. It's likely that more affordable, smaller battery options will be available in time also. It's going to have 150 kilowatt rapid charging capability, and the car's battery can be topped up from 10 to 80% in less than 30 minutes. While plugging it into a 22 kilowatt AC charger, it will return 10 to 80% charge in around 3 hours. But that doesn't say that it's necessarily a 22 kilowatt AC charger, does it? The battery feeds a single rear-mounted motor producing 268 brake horsepower and 343 newton-meters of torque. So this is quite a punch it packs, eh? And while Smart's hasn't outlined 0 to 62 miles per hour time, it has a confirmed top speed of 112 miles per hour. It weighs 1,820 kilos, so the Smart should be able to cover the benchmark sprint in less than 7 seconds, Auto Express say. Well, we're running out of time, guys, as I desperately try to keep this show to less than 20 minutes for you. So let's move on to question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. And the question of the week I have for you is, what's your dream driveway? But I've got two rules for you. So you can have two or three vehicles, and your budget is $150,000 US dollars or equivalent wherever you are. So for me, that was about 140,000 euros. And my headline car was a used Model S. Long range, the best one I could get, whatever spare money I have left over, after I buy my recent Muller Cargo e-bike. And then I had initially gone for the Honda E, but I switched that up because I wanted to go for the Citroen Ami. Love that little thing. Perfect for just nipping around town. But let us know your answer. Send them in to Martin. That's hello@evnewsdaily.com. And if any of the stories caught your eye today, or you want to let me know what you choose for your two or three vehicles, I'm on EV Life Ireland on Twitter. That's @EV Life Ireland. And if you've got 1 or 2 minutes to spare, folks, just if you're sitting down having your cup of tea, take a couple of minutes just to leave a review on whatever platform you listen to this podcast. It really helps Martin drive the show onwards and spread the message about EVs. So thank you very much to our premium partners for help keeping this show on the air. And you are Phil Roberts of Electric Future, has done some work with Martin in the past. Really exciting stuff there he's doing. Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village Cincinnati, Audi Cincinnati East and Volvo Cars Cincinnati East, who I think met up with my friend Derek Riley, another sponsor of the podcast there over in the US recently. We have National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. emobilitynorway.com. Octopus Electric Juice, making public charging simple with one card, one map and one app. Millbrookcottages.co.uk, five-star luxury cottages in Devon. Jump in the hot tub while your EV charges. And it pains me every time I say that, I really want to do it. But thank you very, very much, everybody, for sticking around while Martin is on holidays. He'll be back in a few days. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid. See you on the next one.